Com e infórmate. Inglés y fútbol con Baugan y el Atleti.
Esta es la hora extra con Richard Baugan.
Hello and welcome to Friday's edition of the Extra Hour. Finally, we've reached the end of the week. We've reached. We've made it finally to the end of the week. Just around the corner. Well, the weekend is upon us. For most people, it's Friday night, 10 o'clock. So for most people, the weekend is underway. It's underway means está en marcha. It's underway. Everything is underway means todo está en marcha. Everything's underway. So here we are together for the extra hour. And what are we going to do? English. It's what I always do. English. Anything I say or talk about is giving you access to English, to grammar, vocabulary, intonation, pronunciation, structure, conjugations. Everything I do, everything I did, everything I'll do tomorrow is always simply the mechanics of the language in action. All right, so would you rather be 2 meters tall or 1 meter 70? Well, 2 meters, you say, eh? I'd rather be 2 meters tall. Okay. Would you rather be 2 meters 10 or 1 meter 70? In that case, I think I'd rather be 1 meter 70. All right. Would you rather have $1 million or be poor? Oh, well, that's good. That's an easy one. I'd rather have $1 million. Would you rather have $1 million or €1 million? I'd rather have €1 million because it's worth more than $1 million. Would you rather be 10 kilos overweight or 10 kilos underweight? I'd rather be 10 kilos overweight because, well, it depends on your definition of what's the right weight. When you go into the internet and ask the question, what is the ideal weight for a person of my age and my height? It's always much less than what you think. Yes. What's the ideal weight? I mean, if you go and look, what's the ideal weight for a male, a 6 foot male? Oh, let's see. 6 foot, let's see. Let's find it. The ideal weight. All right. Now, in meters. Okay, my centimeters. I'm 1 meter 80. Now, I weigh 180. I weigh 86 kilos. So I'm overweight. I'm overweight. So, for a person who's 5'11 like me, 5'11, I'm the perfect weight, the normal weight for a person who's 5'11. Is between 136 and 172 pounds. Now, if we put this into 170, so that's the highest on the scale, 172 pounds. Pounds to kilos. All right, 172. So 78. So I am 8 kilos overweight, and I don't agree. It's always wrong. These things are... The ideal weight, according to the experts, for me is too thin. Too thin. Of course, it depends on your age. When I was 18 years old, I was 150 pounds. 68. But that was when I was 18 years old and running track and field. But would you rather, yes, Would you rather be overweight or underweight? Well, I'd rather be a little overweight than a little underweight. But grossly overweight? No. Would you rather drink only wine for the rest of your life or only beer? I like both. Well, if you had to choose, which one would you rather spend the rest of your life drinking? Wine. I'd rather drink wine. Would you rather have two wives or none? Can't I have one? Nope. Would you rather have two wives or none? Well, I'd rather have none. Two wives are one too many. Would you rather use Kleenex for the rest of your life or handkerchiefs? I'd rather use handkerchiefs. I prefer handkerchiefs over Kleenex. Yes, but I like both. But I'd rather, if I had to choose, I'd rather use handkerchiefs for the rest of your life, the rest of my life. Would you rather have, would you rather have stomach problems or would you rather suffer digestive problems or respiratory problems? I'd rather suffer digestive problems than respiratory problems. Come on, but these questions are becoming morbose. Come on. Would you rather have three arms or three eyes? Well, it depends on where the eye is. If the eye were in the back of my head, I'd rather have three eyes. But if the eye were in my forehead, I'd rather have three arms. I can hide one of them and use it when I need it. Would you rather speak perfect French or perfect Italian? I'd rather speak perfect French. Although perfect Italian would be incredible. Would you rather live in Greece or in Sweden? I'd rather live in Greece. Although I think I wouldn't mind living in Sweden. I simply like the Mediterranean. And I like the Mediterranean people. Although I like the Swedish people too. So, but I like the Mediterranean people. The Italians, the Spanish, the Greeks, the Turks even, I like them. Would you rather live in Texas or in New York? Oh, that's an easy one. I'd rather live in Texas. Would you rather be rich in Greenland or poor in Spain? Oh, I'd rather be rich in Greenland. What's the population in Greenland? I think it's around 50 or 60,000 people. Small, of course, because there are only a few communities there. But I'd rather be rich in Greenland than poor in Spain. Because if I'm rich in Greenland, I can travel all over the world anytime I want. So, I'd rather be rich. Well, would you rather be rich in Greenland and you can't leave Greenland? Or to be poor in Spain? Well, I'd rather be poor in Spain in that case. Because I can always... Well, poor for the rest of my life. Yes. Well, in that case, if it were for the rest of my life, I'd rather be rich in Greenland, even if I can't leave Greenland, than poor for the rest of my life in Spain. Because I can stay in Greenland, but I can build my own movie theater. I can travel around Greenland on my private planes and things. But however, my life would be very restricted because of the geographic limitations. But Greenland's a very big country, a very big territory. It's not a country. It belongs to Denmark. But I would be it would be very constraining on the things I can really do. But if I were rich in Greenland, I could build a microcosm of the world on the outskirts of one of the Greenland cities. I wonder what you call the people from Greenland. Where are you from? I'm from Greenland. Oh, are you Greenish? Of course, they're called Danish. What do we call the people from Greenland? I don't know. The Inuit people of Greenland refer to themselves as Greenlanders. So we can go to Groenlandes. I don't know how to say it in Spanish. All right. Which name to use, Inuit or Eskimo? Use Inuit. Here everybody says Esquimal, and we say Eskimo, but they are Inuits. Now, they don't like to be called Eskimos. But would you rather, have 10 children or none? I'd rather have 10 children. I mean, if you're offering me two extremes, to have no children at all or to have 10 children. Well, in that case, I would definitely rather have 10 children. Would you rather be a hammer or a nail? I'd rather be a hammer. I'd rather be a hammer than a nail. Yes, I would. Would you rather be a giraffe or a raccoon? A raccoon. You mean un mapache? Yeah, like Rocky Raccoon. Who's Rocky Raccoon? Rocky Raccoon is a character created by Paul McCartney. Rocky Raccoon. Nobody remembers that song except me. Rocky Raccoon checked into his room only to find Gideon's Bible. But Rocky had come equipped with a gun to shoot off the legs of his rival. His rival, it seems, had broken his dreams by stealing the girl of his fancy. Her name was McGill, she called herself Lil, and everyone knew her as Nancy. She and her man, who called himself Dan, were in the next room at the hoedown. Rocky burst in, grinning a grin, and he said, "Danny boy, this is a showdown." Now Daniel was hot, he drew fast and shot, and Rocky collapsed in the corner. Rocky Raccoon, he fell back in his room only to find Gideon's Bible. Gideon checked out, and he left it, no doubt, to help with good Rocky's revival. La da 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 da. That's one of my favorite songs, to tell you the truth, by the Beatles. Rocky Raccoon. It's a cool song. Now, somewhere in the Black Mountain hills of Dakota, there lived a young boy named Rocky Raccoon. And one day, his woman ran off with another guy. Hit young Rocky in the eye. Rocky didn't like that. He said, "I'm going to get that boy." So one day he walked into town and booked himself into a room at the local saloon. And that's when the song really starts. Rocky Raccoon. I recommend you listen to it because it's a pretty cool song. And nobody remembers it. And I don't remember which album it was from. I really don't remember. Which album was Rocky Raccoon from? Let's see, which album was Rocky Raccoon from? And we'll find out. Let's see. Rocky Raccoon. Es una canción de los Beatles, and let's find the English edition. Rocky Raccoon is a song by the English rock band The Beatles in their 1968 album, The Beatles. All right. Also known as The White Album. All right, The White Album. Primarily written by Paul McCartney. All right. It's a cool song. Very different. Well, the Beatles had all kinds of different music. They had the rock and roll and the silly pop, and they had all kinds of music. And some of the music was taken even from Bach and Beethoven. All right. Hey, Richard, tell me things you should and shouldn't do. Things that I should do and things that I shouldn't do. Well, I should always be polite with people. I should always be courteous. I should make an effort to help other people if they need help. I should do my best in my job, and I should do my best at home to promote a healthy atmosphere. I should take care of my own health. I should do, there are a lot of things I should do. Okay, Richard, well, tell me things you shouldn't do. Things I shouldn't do, well, just the opposite. I shouldn't be discourteous to people. I shouldn't be impolite or rude with other people. I shouldn't eat too much. I shouldn't drink too much. I shouldn't drive too fast. I shouldn't run stop signs. You shouldn't do what? I shouldn't run stop signs. What do you mean run? Correr? Ah, no, saltar. Stops. Yes, I shouldn't run stop signs. I shouldn't, I don't know, I shouldn't be pushy. What do you mean, pushy? Well, to push is empujar. Fine, but pushy means empujón? Not really. Let's see, pushy. I shouldn't be pushy. Avasallador, prepotente, agresivo, pushy. I shouldn't be pushy. Yes, things I shouldn't be, and things I shouldn't do. Well, I shouldn't be lazy. I shouldn't be lazy. I should always do my best. I shouldn't do things only halfway. I shouldn't do things only halfway. Hacer las cosas a medias. Halfway. So I should always do my best. What else? I should eat balanced meals. I should eat more fruit and vegetables. I shouldn't eat so much junk food. I shouldn't eat too many snacks. I shouldn't eat red meat only. I should eat more vegetables. I should, things I should do and shouldn't do. All right, should. Yes. Listen to this. I'm going to say five sentences. Now, these sentences were said 20 years ago by Richard Nixon before he, no, 20, no, it was 30. When did Nixon die? I think he died in 1992 or something like that. Richard Nixon, when did he die? He died in 1994. Okay, he died in 1994. Richard Nixon was the president of the United States from 1969 to 1974. He was preceded by Lyndon Johnson, and he was succeeded by Gerald Ford, who was his vice president. He was 81 when he died in 1994. Now, the five sentences I'm going to say were sentences he said during his life. Now, I want you to remember them. Well, remember. I want you to understand them. Since number one, these are quotes, by the way. These are quotes. That means the textual words he said. I've never been to Mongolia. I'm the tallest person in my family. I prefer to use Kleenex to using handkerchiefs. There's never been a time in my life when I felt like giving up. Ghosts don't exist. Okay. Did you remember? Shall I say the sentences again? I'll say the five sentences. I've never been to Mongolia. I'm the tallest person in my family. I prefer to use Kleenex to using handkerchiefs. There's never been a time in my life when I felt like giving up. Ghosts don't exist. All right. So now let's go to reported speech. I remember many, many years ago when Richard Nixon was still alive, he said some interesting things. He said he had never been to Mongolia. He said he was the tallest person in his family. He said he preferred using Kleenex to using handkerchiefs. He said there had never been a time in his life in which he felt like giving up. And finally, he said that ghosts didn't exist. You know, it's interesting, the last sentence. Dijo que no existían. Claro, this person is dead. Ahora, ¿qué es lo que dijo? Que nunca había estado, o que nunca había ido a Mongolia. He said he had never. Had never. This is a reported speech. The sentence he said was, I've never been to Mongolia. So, about 40 years ago, he said he had never. He had never been to Mongolia. He also said that he was the tallest person. Dijo que era la persona. He said he was the tallest person in his family. He said that he preferred using Kleenex to using handkerchiefs. He said that he preferred to use. It's interesting with the verb to prefer. I prefer using. We use the infinitive. But it's listen to this sentence. I prefer to use Kleenex to using handkerchiefs. I prefer using Kleenex to using, which is correct. I prefer to use Kleenex than to use handkerchiefs. Now, I prefer Kleenex to handkerchiefs. Prefiero el Kleenex a los pañuelos de mano. I prefer Kleenex to handkerchiefs. I prefer to use Kleenex than to use handkerchiefs. Now, the sentence I have here is I prefer to use Kleenex to using. It's interesting, the second two is a preposition. Prefiero utilizar Kleenex a utilizar, to using handkerchiefs. And I cannot really explain the grammar of this sentence very well to you, and it doesn't matter. If you say I prefer to use Kleenex to use handkerchiefs, people understand you. So. There's never been a time in my life when I felt like giving up. Yeah. What did he say 35 years ago? He said there had never been a time in his life when he felt like giving up. And that's probably true about Richard Nixon. If you're not familiar with his life, it's an interesting life. This guy was not a boring person. Well, he was. I think he was a very, very, very intelligent man. Very intelligent. And but he made some real mistakes. Well, he just had bad luck. This guy had bad luck. He had good luck and bad luck. He was totally unknown. In the Second World War, he was stationed in the South Pacific. And he even started a business. He was a hustler. I don't know how to say a hustler. He was kind of a hustler in the army. He made a lot of money in the army betting con juego. And so let me see if I can find a good definition of hustler. H-U-S-T-L-E-R. Hustler. Te muda. Hustler. A hustler, dice aquí. Estafador, embaucador. No. Bueno. Yes and no. A hustler. Do you remember the movie with Paul Newman and, oh, what's his name? Tom Cruise, called The Color of Money. El color de dinero sobre el billar americano. They were playing pocket billiards or pool. They were hustlers. Tom Cruise was a hustler. And Paul Newman tried to convince him to enter a tournament just to win, not to win money. There was another movie also made with Paul Newman when Paul Newman was very young. And the name of the movie was The Hustler. The Hustler. With Jackie Gleason and George C. Scott. It was a very, very good movie. Better than The Color of Money, in my opinion. It was called The Hustler. To hustle is, for example, a hustler. There was a man who every week, once or twice a week, or every day, I don't know, took the train in Ireland from Dublin to Cork and then returned. He did this every week, but each time he usually got on a different train car. And he had a little table and he started playing solitaire. And he always made sure to sit opposite another man. And he made mistakes on purpose playing solitaire. And the other man was watching and said, "Excuse me, you forgot you can play the red 8 onto the black 9 here." "Oh, gosh, thank you, I didn't see it." So he acted like he was a bit dumb, making mistakes playing solitaire. And then he said, "Well, hey, you want to play some poker?" And the other man said, "Well, of course," because the other man thought he could win. And the man allowed himself to lose the first time. But he raised the bet. And then he won a lot of money. So he did. He was a hustler. He was a very good poker player. But he made people think that he was dumb. That he wasn't. That's called a hustler. And they do that in pool. Pool, como la misma piscina, es el billar americano, con agujeros. And so it's a pool player. Pool shark. We say tiburón del pool. A pool shark. And that many of them are hustlers. They will play poorly in front of new people and then steal them blind and then beat them in the actual games in which they're betting. That's called a hustler. All right. So, Richard Nixon was a bit of a hustler when he was in the war, but he later became the vice president and then the president of the United States of America. So it was a surprise for himself, probably, but he was a very intelligent man. Very interesting guy to listen to his interviews with Richard Nixon. Go into YouTube interviews Richard Nixon and listen to him in an interview. It's good for your English. I'll be right back.
Pásate a vernos a la tienda de Vaughan.
Sí, ya está abierta.
Ven y nosotros te asesoraremos con el material que te puede ayudar a mejorar tu inglés. Con libros especializados en speaking, listening, grammar, vocabulary. Si quieres, te podemos hacer directamente un plan de estudio para que lo puedas hacer en tu casa. Y mejorar esas pequeñas cositas del inglés que tanto te cuestan con los mejores libros de enseñanza de inglés del mercado. No, no exageramos. Tenemos los mejores libros. Ven a comprobarlo a la tienda de Vaughan. Estamos en Madrid, en la calle Orense 75, esquina con Sor Ángela de la Cruz. De lunes a jueves de 10 a 6 y media y los viernes hasta las 5 y media. Y si vives fuera de Madrid o prefieres contactar con nosotros por teléfono, llámanos al 91-445-5844. La tienda Vaughan. Te asesoramos en lo que necesites.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan, desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los tres planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Contact us now for a free level test and get started on your trimestrales right away. Your English adventure awaits. Trimestrales de Vaughan.
Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo, horario de mañana o tarde, prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades, ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia.
Una pausa y disfruta, mejorando, aprendiendo con tu curso trimestral por videoconferencia. Con todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Por fin llega tu mejor momento del día. Cursos trimestrales por videoconferencia. Haz tu reserva en el 91-133-5833. 91-133-5833. Lo que más miedo da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso Vaughan ha desarrollado las clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%. Contrata las clases telefónicas de inglés de Vaughan para tu empresa. Llama al 91-133-5831 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
El Club Atlético de Madrid, junto con Vaughan, ha creado un campamento de verano donde tus hijos disfrutarán jugando al fútbol mientras aprenden inglés. Dirigido a niños y niñas de entre 8 y 15 años, en grupos de aproximadamente 10 niños por monitor. ¿Fechas? Tienes para elegir del 18 al 24 de julio o del 25 al 31 de julio, como prefieras. Los entrenamientos tendrán lugar en las modernas instalaciones del Centro Deportivo Wanda Alcalá de Henares, sede de la Academia del Atlético de Madrid. Y el alojamiento será en habitaciones individuales con baño privado en el Colegio Mayor Aquinas, en la Ciudad Universitaria de Madrid. Ven a aprender inglés con el campeón de liga, el Atlético de Madrid, y el campeón del inglés, Vaughan. Llama al 91 133 5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Inglés y fútbol, con Vaughan y el Atleti.
Welcome back. Okay, let's get going. I was talking about Richard Nixon. Do you remember? This man became, when he got back from the South Pacific after the Second World War, I don't know what he did. I think he finished his university degree, but I'm not sure. But right away, he ran for office. Right away, Kruki enseguida, right away, he ran for office. When did Nixon run for Congress? His first, I think it was 1946. Yes. The 1946 congressional district election. Yeah. That's an election for a seat in the United States House of Representatives. And it took place on November 5th, 1946. Almost exactly 5 years before I was born. All right. And Nixon was elected with 56% of the vote. And it surprises me because, really, very few people knew who Richard Nixon was. He must have been a good campaigner. And he became one of the 435 members of the United States House of Representatives. And very, very soon, he got involved in what we call red baiting. To bait is lanzar un cebo para que piquen. And so he had managed to find a lot of people, or to examine a lot of people who were involved in communist activities in the United States. So he was, before others, he was one of the first politicians to pursue members of Hollywood and other members who were considered to be communist or who were considered to be passing on intelligence information to the Soviets. Richard Nixon, and then in 1951, he was chosen, 1952 really, he was chosen as the vice presidential candidate by Dwight Eisenhower. Why? Probably because it was important for Eisenhower to win the state of California. At that time, California probably had about 50 or 60 electoral votes. And that's a lot of votes. And so he chose Richard Nixon as his vice presidential candidate. And they won. And so starting in January 1953, Richard Nixon became the vice president of the United States. And for the next 8 years, he was the vice president. And then in 1960, he ran for president against John Kennedy. And John Kennedy defeated him by a very narrow margin, by a very slim margin. The election was extremely close. At that time, the closest in history. And many people believe that Richard Nixon really won that election, that it was stolen by Kennedy's father, Joseph Kennedy, when he spoke to the mayor of Chicago to turn some votes around in favor of John Kennedy to allow him to win the state of Illinois. It's never been proven, but it's a conspiracy theory. And so Nixon lost the election. 2 years later, he ran for senator for California, and he lost again. And that was his lowest moment, the lowest point in his life. And he said to the press, "You don't have Dick Nixon around anymore, to kick around anymore," because he didn't have a good opinion of the press. But he came back. And in 1968, he won the election and became president of the United States. 4 years later, in 1972, he won re-election by a landslide and then got involved in the Watergate scandal. And 2 years later, in 1974, he stepped down. He resigned. The only president in the history of the United States to resign. And he basically had to resign because otherwise he would have been impeached by the U.S. Senate. So to avoid impeachment, to avoid going down in history as the only president to be impeached, he stepped down. He resigned. To go down in history, entrar en los libros de la historia, entrar en los anales de la historia, so you think it's to go down in history. Strange expression, to go down, bajar. To go down is bajar, bajar abajo, to go down. To go down in history, yes. And he would have gone down in history as the only president to be impeached, so he resigned first in 1974, and Gerald Ford became the president because he was the vice president. So now, Richard Nixon said many things. Now, he said the following five sentences. I've never been to Mongolia. I'm the tallest person in my family. I prefer to use Kleenex to using handkerchiefs. There's never been a time in my life when I felt like giving up, and ghosts don't exist. All right. This is not true. He didn't say these things, I'm sure. But I say he did. Okay, now let's say. Now, he died in 1994, I believe. Or 1993. So, during his life, he said he had never been to Mongolia. He said he was the tallest person in his family. He said that he preferred to use Kleenex to using handkerchiefs. He said that there had never been a time in his life in which he felt like giving up. And finally, he said that ghosts didn't exist. Fíjate, dijo que no existían los fantasmas. It also sounds okay to say he said ghosts don't exist. Which would you say? Recuerdo hace 30 años dijo que no existían los fantasmas o no existen. Both are correct, really. But in any case, that's what we call reported speech. All right, el absentismo. Absenteeism. Yes. Is there a high rate of absenteeism in your company? I know there isn't. Richard, are you a materialist? No, I'm not. I mean, for you, are you a person who follows materialism? Well, excuse me, you say materialism as a philosophy, like empiricism. If I can't touch it, taste it, see it, and smell it, it doesn't exist. No, I'm not a follower of materialism. Yes. Now, are you using a computer right now? Yes, I am. Is it a mechanism? Well, I don't consider a computer a mechanism. It's different. A mechanism is something more mechanical. A computer is electronic. So I don't consider a computer a mechanism. Have you ever been involved in political activism? No, I haven't. I've never been involved. I'm not an activist. Activista. Activismo. We say activism. No, I've never been involved. Do you follow agnosticism? No, I'm not an agnostic. That's the easy way out. That's the easy way out. An agnostic. Agnosticism is following the school of agnostics that say, we just don't know. I mean, basically, maybe it's true, but I mean, to go through your life saying, listen, I'm not going to think too much about this. Why think about the existence of God or not? It's like thinking about the existence of flying saucers or people on other planets or ghosts and things. But, you know, I prefer that you either accept faith. I prefer an atheist over an agnostic. A person who says, there's nothing after death. Nothing. I have a bit more respect for that person who takes a position than a person who's an agnostic and says, it's impossible to know. maybe it's true that it's, of course it's impossible to know. But there's a concept called faith. Now, it's interesting. Isn't an atheist exercising or adopting faith or not? If a person categorically states that God doesn't exist, there's nothing after death, it's much closer to religious faith than an agnostic. The faith that it's not true. You have the faith that is not true. All right, absenteeism, materialism, mechanism, metabolism, agnosticism, alcoholism, alcoholismo. Is there a lot of alcoholism in Spain? I don't think there is as much alcoholism in Spain as in other countries, to tell you the truth. I don't think so. Yeah, if you say countries ranked by alcohol consumption. And we have, let's see the ranking. And it's funny, every ranking is different. For example, according to who? Guinness, it's not even Guinness on. All right. Well, according to whoever this is, Tunisia is number one. Tunisia, Tunis. Number two is Eswatini. I've never heard of, here's a country I've never heard of. Eswatini. The population is 1.1 million people. Where is Eswatini? Have you ever heard of Eswatini? I haven't. And I thought I knew everything. Where's Eswatini? I'm going to find out. Have you ever heard of Eswatini? Eswatini. Huh. Swazilandia. Oh, they changed the name from Swaziland. Okay. Eswatini. In Spanish, they call it Swazilandia. Eso sí. They changed the name. It's Swaziland, the kingdom of... since 2018, the kingdom of Eswatini is called Eswatini. Until 2018, it was called the kingdom of Swaziland. Of course, it's down surrounded by South Africa. Zululandia, Swazilandia, these... Yes, so that's the second country in alcohol consumption. The third is the Maldives, and the fourth is Afghanistan. The fifth is Namibia. The sixth is South Africa. Then Algeria, Turkey, Iran is... I don't believe this. That's strange. I don't really believe it. Alcohol is... All right. I can't believe it. Tunisia is the number one in alcohol consumption. Maybe it's per capita. Because Tunisia is a relatively small country in population, but a lot of tourists spend their holidays in Tunisia. And maybe these tourists drink a lot of alcohol. And so this skews the statistics and makes you think that, but it's the consumption by British, German, Scandinavian people who are down in Tunisia. But, you know, I don't know what the population... The population of Tunisia is probably about 10 million people, or even less. I don't know, Tunisia. In Spanish, you say Tunis. Tunisia. The population of Tunisia is 11.7 million people. Almost 12 million people. Now, they receive a lot of tourists, and these tourists probably drink alcohol because Tunisia is a Muslim country, and alcohol consumption is prohibited or very dissuasive in these countries. So I would think that most of the consumption, if it's true what I'm reading, that Tunisia is the number one consumer of alcohol per person, well, I think they are using the population Tunisia, but including the consumption of the tourists there. Let's find a different list. Now that we have access to the internet, we can find all kinds of lists and rankings and things. And you'd be surprised when you look at it, you see that every one of the rankings are different. And so you don't know which one to believe. Here's a page called Our World in Data. All right. And so we can find the countries by, Belgium consumes more in Europe. We have Belgium, Germany, France, the UK, and then Italy in consumption. So apparently the Belgians are the worst. Okay. I can't find information on this, but I don't think Spain is very high. Here's Wikipedia. All right. Per capita consumption, Moldova is number one. Lithuania is number two. The Czech Republic, number three. Seychelles, number four. Germany, number five. Spain is number 39. So people don't drink too much in Spain, despite the botellón and despite all of this. There are 38 countries that are ranked as worse than Spain in alcohol consumption, including Greece, Australia, New Zealand. They drink more per capita in New Zealand than in Spain. Uruguay, Finland, Serbia, Belarus, Andorra, the UK, etc. The United States, where is it? I can't find the U.S. in alcohol consumption. Let me go back to the beginning. I've lost the United States. That's strange. Because the United States is number 45. And that could be true. There are a lot of alcoholics in the United States. It's true. But also there are a lot of teetotalers. Probably more teetotalers per capita. Well, per capita. There are more teetotalers as a percentage of the population than in Spain. So people, according to Wikipedia, according to the World Health Organization, Organización Mundial de la Salud, people in Spain drink more alcohol than the people in the United States, which probably is true per capita. But I think there are more alcoholics probably in the United States than in Spain. But at the same time, there are more teetotalers. A teetotaler is un abstemio. Teetotaler. That's interesting, but you can't trust these statistics. You just can't. Pure alcohol consumption. All right. So, but in any case, let's go on. I'm talking about words that term ismos, cannibalism, atheism, anarchism, organism, un organismo, nepotism. Richard, is there nepotism in your company? No, there isn't. There isn't nepotism in my country, in my company. Excuse me. Negativism. Is there a lot of negativism in Spain? Yes, there is. Unfounded negativism. Unfounded. Infundada. Infundado. Egoism. Dogmatism. Cynicism. Cubism. Yes. Who was the most famous cubist? The most famous cubists were two, Pablo Picasso and George Braque. And another Spanish painter, Juan Gris, was in the group of cubists practicing cubism. Is tourism important for Spain? Yes, it is. Los ismos. Fíjate cómo se pronuncian. Se pronuncia isam. Materialism. Metabolism. Paternalism, optimism, pessimism, populism, pragmatism, racism, radicalism, realism, terrorism, symbolism, stoicism for stoic people, fascism, Fíjate la producción del fascismo. Fascism. Favoritism. Richard, yeah. Do you practice favoritism? I don't think so. Sometimes unconsciously you do, but I don't think so. Federalism. Feminism. Rich, are you a feminist? No, I'm not. But I would say maybe 55% of the, or 60% of the people working my company are women. But I'm not a feminist. Feudalism. When did feudalism end? Well, feudalism never came to Spain. That's interesting. Feudalism began after the fall of the Roman Empire. Sistemas feudales, in which there's a lord and the manor and the serfs. That did not happen in Spain. It didn't happen. Feudalism was north of the Pyrenees. It's an interesting debate. Did feudalism exist in Spain? You know, it really didn't. Spain in the Middle Ages was not really feudal. Why? Basically because of the reconquest. Of course, you can find some, in some way, the feudal idea was present in Spain, but much less than in other parts. Medieval Spain and feudalism. It's interesting, feudalismo, feudalism. But I don't have time to get into that. It's an interesting debate. For example, our good friend, whose name I can't remember. Claudio Sánchez Albornoz always said that el sistema feudal nunca se enraizó en España. It never got rooted in Spain, feudalism. All right. There's quite a debate whether feudalism existed or not in Spain. Historians believe that feudalism can be traced back to the height of the Dark Ages, especially when dealing with the history of Spain. However, English scholars had the tendency of downplaying feudalism. All right. French historians believe that the proto-feudalism did not exist in medieval Spain. I have a tendency to agree with that. It was different. Only the historians are here in Spain are truly expert on the Middle Ages in this country. From the Visigoths up to the Catholic monarchs, or Reyes Católicos. It's an interesting period. Very interesting period in the development of Spain. And in many ways, the Spain we know today has received a lot from that period. That's a long, long period of time. From the year 500 A.D. up to the year, 15, basically six, the year 1500. We're talking of 1,000 years, maybe 900 years net. And then, so 900 years is a long, long time. And Spain was developing, and it was, of those 900 years, at least 780, almost 800 of those 900 years were the Reconquest, La Reconquista. And so that marked Spain in a certain way and made its history a lot different from the rest of Europe. There are only two areas of Europe that were strongly affected by Islam. And those areas were, of course, the Balkans, Greece, and the Balkan area, the Balkans, when the old Yugoslavia. Basically, Greece, Albania, Macedonia, Kosovo, what is today Kosovo, and Serbia, and Bosnia, Herzegovina. And then on the opposite side of Europe, Spain. Spain. But it was totally different. Spain managed to reconquer, very slowly, but to reconquer the Iberian Peninsula. Well, Spain, no. Castile, the different kingdoms. Portugal, León, the Kingdom of León, the Kingdom of Portugal, the Kingdom of Castile, the Kingdom of Navarre, the Kingdom of Aragon, etc. With the help of Europeans crossing the Pyrenees, were able to reconquer very slowly the Iberian Peninsula. But in the Balkans, no. Greece was under, until the middle 19th century, Greece was under the influence or under the control of the Ottoman Empire. And then also Bulgaria and much of what later was Yugoslavia for many centuries. And they didn't have a reconquest, really. If you look at the Balkan area, you'll see Croatia. And it's a very, very strange country. Physically, it's because that was the advance of the Ottomans and the Muslims. I have to go, eh? Hey, have a good weekend and drive carefully. Bye-bye.
Pásate a vernos a la tienda de Vaughan. Sí, ya está abierta. Ven y nosotros te asesoraremos con el material que te puede ayudar a mejorar tu inglés. Con libros especializados en speaking, listening, grammar, vocabulary. Si quieres, te podemos hacer directamente un plan de estudio para que lo puedas hacer en tu casa. Y mejorar esas pequeñas cositas del inglés que tanto te cuestan con los mejores libros de enseñanza de inglés del mercado. No, no exageramos. Tenemos los mejores libros. Ven a comprobarlo a la tienda de Vaughan. Estamos en Madrid, en la calle Orense 75, esquina con Sor Ángela de la Cruz. De lunes a jueves de 10 a 6 y media y los viernes hasta las 5 y media. Y si vives fuera de Madrid o prefieres contactar con nosotros por teléfono, llámanos al 91-445-5844. La tienda Vaughan. Te asesoramos en lo que necesites.
Okay, now, tell me you want to do 10 more push-ups.
I want to do 10 more push-ups.
Very good. Ask me if I'll tell you to do 10 more.
Will you tell me to do...